Malcolm, you gave a presentation where you talked about, building goodwill for the pork industry. Give us kind of a thumbnail of what you were telling people and what you wanted them to take from your little seminar.
Well, I thought that the best thing to do would be for us to be able to show people, not just tell people what we do. And so a couple of key things that we have done is that we have put one of our farms through a remodel process that puts in windows so that people can go to almost any barn on the farm and look inside to see what's going on. There's nothing that they can't see that we are ashamed of. If we were, we better fix it. Another thing is that we have reached out to the politicians in our area and said, where do you want to have your pigs raised? Your people want pork. If it takes one pig for every 2 to 3 people each year, do you want it in every backyard, or do you want it out on a farm with professional people taking care of them? Very quickly, he understood that, number one, he wanted it out in the country, and number two, he said, you know, the thing that strikes me is that the carbon footprint will be a whole lot better on a consolidated, regulated farm. So he was very understanding of that. Another thing that we've done is we've reached out to the food banks, and we have provided pigs every single week so that there's a consistent flow of high-quality pork to the food banks to distribute to food pantries throughout Northwest Indiana. There are just under 700,000 people in that area. There are just about 40,000 people who are dependent on food pantries, and they need high-quality pork. And so we've been working with them, and when we tell the food bank people that there are people who want us, the farmers, to get out of business because we're in the pig business, they drop their teeth in surprise, because here is their key protein supplier being threatened when they are having such a tough time feeding so many people, and that people can get starch. It's the protein that they need to have. So we've really been pushing that. And probably the last thing that I was talking about in my seminar was that we have decided to put a video streaming in our farm. We do it for the sake of letting people see what happens all the time. And like I mentioned in my seminar, really it's pretty boring. I mean, a lot of times the animals are just sleeping. But anytime, anywhere, somebody can go to realpigfarm.com, and you'll be able to see a farrowing house, or you'll be able to see a breeding barn. You get to choose, and you can just sit and watch. And the employees are very comfortable. They know that they're on video, but they're proud because they're taking good care of our animals and providing food to people.
How important is it to be able to offer this, the website, the tours that you guys have, especially in light of, you know, what we just recently saw with the and I'm sure you saw the video that came out about the that dairy operation, whether it was real or planted or whatever it might be. You know, how important is it to have a real farm showing what they're doing compared to, you know, maybe the few bad apples that seem to always get all the coverage?
You know, as humans, we are not perfect. And so there's going to be bad apples. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be things that happen. But our intention, our plan, and our setup every single day is that the animals are cared for and the animals are handled properly. I can't account for what happens on somebody else's farm. I know it doesn't do them any good to treat the animals wrong, but I can only account for my people. My people are proud of the work they do. They're ready to tell anybody who wants to hear what they do. And sometimes there are factors beyond our control with an animal, because it is an animal, but it is our job to be smarter and take care of that creature. And I think our people, and more specifically, I think my people do a wonderful job, and I'm very proud of them.
You mentioned you have 150, 200 visitors a year, I believe you said, out at your farm there. What about biosecurity concerns? That seemed to be, not very long ago, it was like, don't let anybody who doesn't work on the farm out on there. But you kind of have taken maybe a little bit of a modified approach. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I guess it would be. We put these windows in, and we have the curtain systems so that anybody can look from the outside in. Nobody goes in the farm. Nobody touches the pig. And really, I think that there's a lot of the risk that is mitigated by being able to keep everybody outside of the farm. In fact, really, only a veterinarian goes in the farm on a monthly basis. But coming onto the farm, we certainly ask people, you know, what is your background? Have you been in pig farms in the last couple of days? Are you, you know, we'll flat ask them. I mean, are you against what we do? Because if there is intentions to do harm to us, I mean, then we would stop and go, hey, time out. But really, unless somebody just flat wants to lie to me, you know, we ask some questions, but beyond that, we trust people. And the barrier is that they don't get in the barns. And so we bring them onto the farm usually with our vehicles, or they keep the bus down the hill, so they have to walk a little ways. We've actually got people movers, wagons, like at the state fair, that will pull them around so that they don't bring their vehicles up to our barns. If they got something on their shoes, well, there's not a lot that I can do about that. But really, we just don't feel like we're threatened. We're giving them a really wonderful educational experience, and they are, to date, they've been super appreciative and have just had a lot of wow more moments. And when you see that in their eyes, that tells you you're doing something right.
That's kind of brings me to my next question. We talked a little bit during the seminar about this. You know, how do you measure the success of this? How do you figure out that it's been successful and you've won the hearts and minds?
You know, it's probably, to use the cliche, it's one at a time, one person at a time. We get a busload of people in. We'll tell them that they're going to have a wow moment. They walk onto the bus as they walk away, and they go, that was incredible. Thank you so much. And maybe when we see the next group from the same association coming back, and we see them coming back for a second or a third time, and they're looking for us and saying, hey, I'm back. This was great. Now this time I brought this many friends. That's probably the only way that we get to see a needle move in one direction or another. But I just really think that between a tour like that with a person-to-person and with something like a food bank where you are feeding a person every single day, there's not many better ways that we can do in our local area to measure that. But I really do believe that there is an affirmation as I visit with key decision makers in the legislative and in the governmental business, that they go, hey, you know what? People mentioned this, and it must be doing good because they thought very highly of you. And that's just a little thing, but it's a nice thing.
And I know something you also mentioned, the fact that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a bigger producer than you guys. Could be a smaller producer. But everybody could do something like this, maybe not to the extent you guys are, but at least, you know, maybe with the food banks, working with them to make sure that they have that connection with the farms, you know, maybe offering tours or at least some kind of information to the public. Everybody could do something and kind of help the industry as a whole.
You know, I couldn't agree more. And really, it's not a matter of money, about whether you can put a window in and let somebody see. It's not a matter of huge amounts of time. You know, let's face it, we do a tour maybe once a month, and you give about an hour or two, and people will walk away and really feel good about it. You didn't give a lot of time. It doesn't really hurt you to show somebody else. You just got to give a little effort. And I really think that in the long term, you know, being loud and proud really is good for us as producers. It's good for our community. And frankly, I think it's great for my employees. They love it. They're all eager to give those tours.
Malcolm, some great information. Anything else you'd like to add so our audience understands, you know, what you're doing and what you hope to encourage other producers to do?
You know, I've had the privilege to have this opportunity to speak today, but myself and Bells for Milling are not anything special. This is something that if you care for the industry, this is something that you can be a part of. And whether it whether you're a producer, you know, you're an employer, whether you're the owner, whether you are a support group, I hope that groups like feed companies and bankers and REMCs and everybody is out there promoting it, because we need to have a unified voice to let people know that this is good stuff that happens out on these farms.